Let's turn in our Bible today to the 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And let's read the first three verses in our Bibles today for our text. We're going to be talking about God is love by the Apostle John. John wrote, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." Get that? "For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Heavenly Father, bless the word to our hearts this day, and bless us to thy service. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Think about this, folks. In our world today, there's so much hate, and many people feel unloved, unwanted. People who are old and even people who are young are feeling unloved. Many are even taking their own life because they feel unloved, unwanted. Many parents that have failed to show proper love for their children run away from home. And many are on drugs. Many are even taking their own life. Children, they feel unloved. Husbands or wives, they feel unloved by their mates. Many are being divorced. Yes, people feeling unloved, unwanted in this old world of sin, folks. There are many people who do not know of God's love for them in this old world. A lot of people don't realize God loves them in the world today. It's so sad that the masses of people that do not understand, God loves them. God's got a great plan for their life if they would just look to him and know about him. It's so sad that so many people are unloved. But all people are loved by God. Get that? All people are loved by God, although people don't love God, so many of them in the world. Oh, the people that don't love God. But God loves everybody. Boy, that's something, isn't it? That's something. No matter who they are or what they have done, they are still loved by God. No matter how evil, how wicked, how sinful people may be, God still loves them. He loves them so much, he sent his only son to die on a cross to pay for their sin. That's awesome to think about, isn't it, folks? But God is love. God is love. God sees what sin has done to the human family, and God has did something about it. He sent his son to take all of man's sin upon himself and pay for man's sin so man could be cleansed from his sin and know the love of God, my listeners and church folks today. Yeah. Yeah. No matter who they are or what they've done, God still loves everybody everywhere, and no one can keep God from loving them. Boy, that's awesome to think about, too. You cannot keep God from loving you. Yeah. Yeah, think about that now. You quit going to church, you quit reading your Bible, you don't have time for God, God still loves you. God still loves you. Oh, yeah. You may feel the sting of his chastisement if you're a Christian. And one day you might be separated from God forever if you're an unbeliever. But God still loves you. God still loves you. God loves all his creation, folks. Yes, he loves all his creation, brothers and sisters. He loves the birds. He loves the animals. He loves all of nature because he made it with his loving care for his own self. For his own self, he's made everything because God is love. God is love. It's God who feeds all of life, and it's God who causes the flowers to bloom and the trees to give off oxygen for us to breathe. Isn't that awesome? Why? Because God loves us. God's taking care of us. Oh, he brings the sunshine. He brings the rain. Oh, God loves us, folks. If people would just stop and realize there is a God that loves them. And the best way to really know about God's love is not only reading about it in the Word of God, but look about at that cross where Christ hung and died for all of our sin because we're all loved so much. Brothers and sisters, think about it. Don't forget it. You are so loved by God. When you're tempted to disobey the Lord, think about God loves you. And God wants the best for you. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." We're sons and daughters of God. Now that we've been saved by the grace of God, boy, now that's something, isn't it? Church, isn't that something? That we're the sons and the daughters of God Almighty? We've been adopted into his family now. God only had one son, that was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sent him to die upon a cross for all of our sin. And then he raised him from the dead, and he went back to heaven to sit down at the right hand of the Father. But now God is adopting into his family all those that believe in his Son. And now we're sons and daughters of God. My, how blessed we are to be the children of God. Not everybody in this world's God's children. Oh, I know the politicians and others. Oh, they think everybody's a child of God. That's not true at all. That's not biblical. Only born-again believers are children of God and make up the family of God. And you can be a son of God and daughter of God if you repent of sin and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. God has set apart a people that he's chosen for his own. Those that believe in his Son, God's accepting them as his sons and daughters. Yeah, we're being adopted into his family. We have the highest priority of all God's creatures, for we are regarded as the children of God. Yes, children of God. And we are his dear children. I want to remind you, what we have done to entitle us to such a status? Nothing. Just the love of God for all of us through Jesus Christ. God's not seen anything in you and I that's special other than he made us all. We're just a race of sinners. There's nothing good in us. He's already told us that in the Old and the New Testament. There's none good, not even one. Only God is good. But God still loves us. And God's going to make something out of us when we accept his Son as our Savior. You want to be somebody? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll live in heaven forever. You'll live in paradise forever. all your troubles and trials one day will all be gone forever. And you'll be in a place of love, like love you've never experienced before. Perfect love. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to understand that God is love and you are loved as his children today. So we should love him who first loved us. Do you appreciate God loving you? Do you appreciate God loving someone like you? Do you ever wonder, how could God love me? You ever wonder about that? How could God ever love somebody like me? Well, he does. Even though we're sinners, he still loves us. Yeah, we're selfish people. Look how selfish we are. Yeah, don't you want the biggest piece of pie? Amen. Yeah. And we're strong-headed people sometimes, aren't we? Yeah, we're proud. Yeah, I'm more important than that guy over there, that woman over there. Don't you think like that sometimes? Huh? Aren't you a little bit prejudiced? Come on now, be honest. Aren't you a little prejudiced? Yeah, we are. Yet God still loves you. God still loves you. Oh, he loves you so much he let his son die for you to rescue you because you were perishing. You were going to be separated from God forever. But God sent his son to pay for your sin. So if you'd believe in him, you could live with him forever. Brothers and sisters, yeah, he does not love our sin, but he loves us. That's why Jesus died, to save us. You're so loved by God. You're so loved by God, but unacceptable to God as a sinner. God can't accept sinners into his presence. That's why you have to be born again. You got to repent of sin. You got to realize you're a sinner. You need salvation. It's freely offered. If you'll humble yourself, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves you and me so much. He sent his son, his darling son, his precious son, to die in your place and pay your sin debt and mine so we could be made acceptable to God because all of our sin is removed and we're cleansed and we're made acceptable. Get this, we're made acceptable. We don't do anything to become acceptable. We cannot do anything to become acceptable. All of that is possible only through the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us, purging us. My brothers and sisters, oh, sometimes we get too high of opinion of ourselves. We better take stock of the fact and of the truth. I'm a sinner saved by grace through faith. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I love this verse from Paul. For he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, God let Christ become sin for us. That is, take our sin, and he paid for our sin. But he had no sin of his own. He was holy, perfect, sinless. But he took all of our sin. And then God judged him so you and I would not have to be judged. We won't be judged for sin if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be judged for how faithfully we serve Christ. To see if we've earned any rewards. Won't that be something, folks? My, what a good God. What a loving God. What a loving God. God loves us so much, folks. He just wants to bless us. And yet we want to run away from God. We want to do what we want to do. Hey, folks, you're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself. The Bible says, therefore, the world knoweth us not, here in 1 John chapter 3. The world knoweth us not. No, the world don't understand us, Christian people. No. The reason Christian people are hated and despised by the world and it does not know us is because we're God's people. We're a holy people. We have been made different. We're a new creation in Jesus Christ. We have different values. Is your values different from the world? If they're not, you need to get saved. Amen. If your values aren't different from the world, you need to get saved. You need to get born again. You need to repent of sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin to love Him, serve Him, learn about Him. Yeah, brothers and sisters, it's so important. Don't be just a church member. Be a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. We've been changed when we get saved. We become a new person. We don't think like the world. We don't act like the world. Why? Because we've been made a new creation in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah, if you've not made a new creation, you need to get saved. Get rid of your religion. Get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because a believer is a new person and they want to learn about God, know about God, and want to please God. Brothers and sisters, what about you today? You want to please God? Learn about God? Well, talk to God. Realize your need for God. Yeah, a believer's prayer, even though it may be simple to start off with, can begin to take on some more depth and meaning as we grow in the Lord. We start off as babes in the Lord. Maybe just say grace at mealtime, or maybe saying a little prayer when we go to bed at night. But as time progresses, we should be praying throughout the day as we go about our activities, talking to the Lord. Talking to the Lord throughout the day, folks. Yeah, we can talk to the Lord as we go about our activities, as we ride the highways, wherever we at. We can just talk to the Lord, folks. We really can. I remember as a teenager when I was playing baseball, I'd stand out on the mound scared to death. Them old batters, they looked so mean and tough. And I'd wind up to throw that ball, and I'd say, Lord, don't let them hit that ball. I'm so honest, that's what I'd say. Lord, don't let them hit that ball. Oh, yeah. And you know what? The Lord really blessed me. The Lord really blessed me. I really enjoyed playing baseball in school and a few years after school in a little league that I was involved with. Yeah, God blesses. And we can talk to the Lord even if you're on the mound and frightened with those batters, folks. You can say, Lord, help me. Yeah. The world does not understand why I want to go to church. All my life, I've gone to church. I started going to church. My mom and daddy taking me. We went in a mule and a wagon. And I remember going in a mule and wagon. I remember going in an old car that sometimes you have to push it to get the battery to crank. The battery was so dead in it. I remember always went to church. And when I was in the Army, on Sunday, we would have a assembly or chapel. I'd go then, folks. Why? I'm a believer. I was saved when I was 14. Oh, I didn't know much, but I knew I believed in Jesus. I knew I'd accepted Christ, and I just wanted to please the Lord. I knew I needed the Lord, folks. I've not been perfect. I failed and stumbled many times. But I just can't get away from the Lord. I got to go to church. I don't know I've ever missed a church Sunday on purpose. I don't remember any. just lay out because I didn't want to go to church. I don't ever remember that in my life. I always go to church, go to church. The world don't understand why I want to support the work of the Lord either. Pay tithes, love offerings. Oh, I started off giving just a little bit. But you know, as I grew in the Lord, I've started learning to give more than a tithe, folks. I give more than a tithe because I want to support the Lord's work. I want other people to know about the Lord, what the Lord did for me. The Lord saved me. I'm going to heaven and I know it. Not because I'm good, not because I'm a preacher. I'm going to heaven because God saved this old sinner boy when I asked him to forgive me and be my Savior. And I want to please him and I want to serve him. I want him to use me now if he can use such a creature as I am to preach his word. The world don't understand why I feel like I'm a blessed person to get to preach, folks. Oh, I remember as a young Christian sitting in class in high school and some of the guys in the and the girls were talking about what all they were going to do when they got out of school, you know. Well, I didn't know what I was going to do. I said, but there's one thing. I'm not going to be a preacher. I don't want to be no preacher, anything but a preacher. Guess what? I found out later, Mama said, Lord, I want my son to be a preacher. And it caught up with me. Amen. And I've been preaching all these 50 years or so, Lord, preaching the good gospel of Jesus Christ, folks. I've never regretted it. Oh, it gave me meaning and purpose in life, folks. Yeah, there's nothing like being where God wants you, doing what God wants you to do. God's got a plan for every person, for every believer. Yeah, not all of us are called to preach. God's called you to do something, though. God's called you to help get out the gospel. God's called you to live for him. God's called you to help others know about Jesus Christ. Yeah, the world don't know us. No, the world looks at us and what's wrong with them people going to church all the time? Oh, they don't have time. But maybe one day these lost sinners will come to realize what it means to be saved and to know the Lord and love the Lord. The Bible says that here that we shall be, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. That's what I want to say now. The world don't know the Lord. That's the problem. The world, many people know there's a God. There's a lot of people don't even believe there's a God. But the world don't know him. The lost people don't know God. They might know about God. Yeah, they might believe there is a God. Lots of people. But most people in this world only know about God. They don't know him as their own personal Savior and God like they could if they'd repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing about God and knowing God is two different things. It's two different things. As I have preached before, you can know God, Jeremiah said. Ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, Jeremiah 29:13 states. John 5:39 states, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, he told those Jews. But listen, and they are they which testify of me, Jesus said. Hey, the scriptures tell about Jesus. The scriptures themselves don't save you. It's the Savior of the scriptures that saves you. The scriptures tells you about him. If you'll believe in him, the Savior that died on the cross, you can be saved from your sin. Praise the Lord. This world is filled with religions and religious people, but they do not know God. And hell itself will be full of religious people, people that never knew God. They knew about God, many knew about God. They might have had religion, But you got to be born again to know God to be saved from your sin. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to get to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. Oh, no other way but through Jesus Christ for salvation. And people can believe what they want to believe, that there's other ways, there's other avenues, but they'll find out too late there's only one way. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the only Savior appointed by God to save sinners from their sin. One has to come to the Lord humbly. They must come as a child. They must admit they are a sinner, and they must believe in Jesus, that he died for their sin. Their sin. And they must turn their life over to Him and begin to serve Him. Yes, brothers and sisters, only one way to be saved is through faith in Jesus Christ. John said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. What we shall be one day. You ever think about what it's going to be like one day when we get to heaven? If you've been saved, you ever think about that? How it's going to be when you get to heaven? I think about it every day, folks. What's God going to do with all the people that's in heaven? You think about all the people that's going to be. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven. Now, I don't believe most people will be in heaven. I think most is going to be lost. But there's going to be a lot of people in heaven, folks. And I wonder, will I get lost in the crowd? Amen. Will we get lost in the crowd? No, listen. Before we are saved, we're children of the devil. That don't sound too good, does it? We're sinners, and we love sin. We're separated from God till you get saved. Got to get saved. No, everybody's not a child of God. Most people are children of the devil till you get saved. Then you are adopted into God's family and become sons and daughters of God. It's only by hearing the gospel that we can even be saved. And when we're saved, we become God's children right then. Right then, the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God right then. And you're not put on probation to see if you can hold out and make it. No. No, you're not, folks. No, when you're saved, you're made a new person right then. You're given eternal life, and you will go to heaven. We're being saved. We will be saved because we were saved. That's the way the Bible presents our salvation. All of our sins for all of our life are paid for when we accept Jesus. All of our sins. He died for all of our sin. And He did that before we were ever born. You understand that, my listeners? Oh, listen. You don't lose salvation once you have salvation. Salvation is permanent. You become a child of God one time. I can't find one person in the Bible who was ever saved, lost their salvation. I can't find anybody. Why? Because when you're saved, you become a child of God. You're given eternal life. Yeah, and your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, folks. Yeah, you're not going to heaven by what you do, by holding out or holding on. Salvation is by what Jesus Christ did. He paid for all of our sin. I wish everybody could understand that, because He did. You are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and not by works that you do, my viewers. That's plain in the Word of God. You are also made a part of the body of Christ, and we're going to be the bride of Christ one day, the Bible says. Everybody that's saved will become a part of the body of Christ. That's going to be given to Him by God the Father after the Bema judgment when we have been judged for how faithfully we serve the Lord. 1 Peter 1:5 says that we are being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When God saves you, He keeps you. You're being kept by His power, not by what you and I do, my viewers and my listeners. And you and I, we all need to understand this. The Bible says, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Imagine being like the Lord one day. God loves you and I so much that one day we're going to be just like Him. We're going to have a body like His body, eternal body, a body that's holy. Hey, yeah, won't that be something, folks? Can you imagine one day God will allow you and I to look like Him, a body that's holy, won't have a sin nature anymore, won't have to repent anymore, won't have to confess sin anymore. Yeah, now ladies, you won't have to wear paint and powder anymore, amen? You won't have to go to the hairdresser anymore to make sure your hair's all in place, amen? Yeah, we're going to be like Him, and we're going to be holy people without any personality flaws, folks. We're going to be perfect. And we're going to want to do things His way and not our way. And men, you're not wanting to go fishing or playing golf when you get to heaven, amen? You won't want to go fishing or play golf or have some other hobby you want to be involved with. When you get to heaven, you want to praise the Lord that He'd save your soul, amen? Yeah, brothers and sisters, we're going to be changed. We're going to be changed when we enter into the presence of the Lord. We won't want a new car or a new truck or a new boat or a new house. No, we're going to want what the Lord wants, brothers and sisters. And neither will we worry and be fearful or feel helpless, because we're going to be like Him. And we're going to enjoy Him throughout the ages. It won't ever come to an end. Can you imagine that, folks? Living in such an environment of love and peace. Oh, what a future awaits people wise enough to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I was a little boy, my mama told me that God was in heaven looking down on us. And John said, we shall see Him as He is one day. And so when my mama told me that, there was a God in heaven, and I remember when I was just a little boy out in the backyard on that farm, I looked up in the sky trying to see God looking down, but I didn't see Him, and I hadn't seen Him yet, folks. But one day we're going to see Him. We're going to see Him that loves us so much, that wants us to be with Him, folks. What a day that's going to be when we walk into heaven to spend eternity with the lover of our soul, brothers and sisters. What a time it's going to be. What rejoicing. And when we see God and we go to live with Him, Isaiah and Daniel and John all describe seeing the glory of God. Peter, James, and John also describe seeing Jesus glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration. But we're going to see Him as He is. The Bible says, and John wrote in Revelation 1, 14 and 15, His head, His hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and His eyes were as a flame of fire, and His feet like unto fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace, and His voice as the sound of many waters. Revelation 1, verses 14 and 15. John saw Jesus, the glorified Christ, about 60 years after He had gone back to heaven there on the Isle of Patmos when he was writing down the book of Revelation. And that's what John described Jesus, the glorified Christ, looking like. And then in Revelation 19, John wrote in verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Yeah, what a Savior. What a glorified Christ. Did you know when Christ comes riding that white horse, we're going to be right there with him when he comes to take over all the nations of the world and defeat all the wicked and the evil that has survived during the tribulation time? They'll all be destroyed. And he'll set up his 1,000-year reign over there in Jerusalem and rule over the whole world in peace and prosperity for 1,000 years like the world has never known. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior, folks. And the Bible says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The Apostle John tells us that if we've been saved, we're purifying ourselves today as Christians. We're learning how to live to please the Lord. We're learning how to live to serve the Lord. We're learning to know more about the Lord. And brothers and sisters in Christ, let me challenge you today. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Pray. Talk to the Lord. Serve the Lord. Get involved in serving the Lord, and we'll be praising him forever and hear him say when we enter his presence, well done, my good and faithful servant. So let's love the Lord. Let's serve the Lord, and let's enjoy the Lord even as we live today in this world. And let me leave you today with this verse from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 13 through 15, because as believers in Jesus Christ, when we stand at the judgment, listen to, this is for believers now, every man's work shall be made manifest. In other words, all you do as a believer is going to be evaluated one day at the judgment seat of Christ, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. The Apostle Paul is saying simply this, brothers and sisters, that all of our life as a believer, what we have done, how we have lived, is going to be put in the fire at the judgment seat of Christ. And the fire will try our works. If our works are consumed, we won't get a reward. If our works endure the fire, there certain rewards will be qualified to receive. So let me encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, live for the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. Draw nigh to the Lord. Love the Lord. And one day, when we enter into his eternal presence, we all want to hear him say, well done, my good and my faithful servant. May God bless. Let's talk to the Lord together today. Loving God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity to come out today and praise you and sing praises to you and worship you, Lord, and call on your holy name, Father, because we so desperately need you. Look upon our nation today, Lord. Look at all the sin that's going on, oh God. Oh, that there might be a spiritual awakening in our nation, O God. Lord, have mercy upon us. And Lord, as we are having a new administration come to rule over this nation, Lord, we pray that you would take care of this administration. Give wisdom to the leaders, Lord. Keep them from making unwise decisions, O blessed God. And have mercy upon us as a people. And, O God, help us during this coming year continue to get out the gospel and share the love of God, the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen and amen. May God bless each and every one today.